We're going to move into the question and answer session, and when I do that, I'm actually going to bring up a slide on two USDOT National Online Dialogues focused on MAP 21 implementation, and you'll be able to see further information in the slide, and that's basically just for your reference or to invite you to participate in these dialogues. But turning back to the questions, we'll start with questions for Matt, as long as his presentation's in everybody's mind still. So Matt, the first question for you, are the carrier data that you mentioned on slide four, SmartWay components, available for researchers?
The data that would be available for researchers would be what I'm showing on the screen right now. There's going to be those eight emission metrics. The companies submit is not available. That's treated as sensitive business information. But realize the information that we're showing publicly is in within a range of plus or minus, say, 50 grams per mile. So it's fairly accurate. It's certainly much better than industry averages that have been out, previous to SmartWay.
Okay. In SmartWay, does the data reference functional classification of highways or any other highway characteristics?
No, it's a little bit of a I understand there's a lot of highway folks on here. So really, SmartWay is geared at business to business, not necessarily trying to break it down into specific geographical performance. Certain trucking fleets, certain short line rail operations will operate in a set geographic area, but overall, SmartWay is really looking at the composite of a fleet's efficiency, boiled down into those eight emission metrics, and presented as such. So, trying to get really local effects. We don't drill down into that particular level of detail.
Okay. Will SmartWay allow transportation agencies to apply carbon footprint results to the corridor level based on freight activity?
Well, again, it's really designed as a partnership between the companies and SmartWay and the shippers. So it's really it's designed for shippers and carriers in order to reduce overall system carbon footprinting. For transportation agencies to apply carbon footprint to corridor level activity, if they were able to get information about the number of X trucks that were in there based on company or based on even type of truck, are they dry vans, are they refrigerated, et cetera, the SmartWay data could be used to narrow that down or to improve some of that modeling better than I think current information is out there that uses global averages. I should mention that the emission factors that we use for NOx and PM are the latest in the EPA moves from the EPA moves model. We did a sensitivity analysis to look at what were the most important things that really affect the emissions, and we looked at the rural versus highway operation. Urban versus rural, and then the average speed in the urban environments were really what had the biggest effect. So it's not a full-blown recreation of all of the things that you can do in the MOOS model. If it was, it wouldn't be runnable by many of the companies that we deal with. But it does access the MOOS emission factors for NOx and PM. And of course, with MOOS updates, we update that as well.
All right, thank you. One last question for you. One of the graphs lists of the non-SmartWay user as being fairly inefficient as compared to the companies that use SmartWay. How did you get that number for non-SmartWay users? Also, is there a way to look at oversized loads generally hauled on flatbeds?
Right, so the last part of the question first, really we're looking at all flatbeds. So we do have a heavy haul category, so that may, if some have identified them as hauling, especially heavy goods on a regular basis, that can be looked at on a separate basis. But what we did for the non-smart way carriers, obviously we don't have, we're not collecting actual information from them. And we didn't want to use average data because by definition that would make, you know, roughly half of the smart way carriers that submitted information do worse by submitting that information as opposed to just taking an average. So the information or the what we report for non-smart way is essentially representative of the 99th percentile of performance we've seen from smart way carriers. For many carriers, this may overstate their emission production, but it doesn't disincentivize anyone from joining the program, and it certainly incentivizes companies to start to join the program and start submitting their data where they can measure, benchmark, and improve. And really what we found is, you know, sometimes companies are kind of pushed in by shippers, or sometimes they come in with, you know, really wondering about how they're going to work with their existing data. But through the SmartWay experience, they generally realize that if they weren't collecting the data before to report, that they really should be. And we've seen significant improvements in many companies' data collection and reporting processes as a result. Again, the stuff that we're asking them to report, really most of it or much of it gets at their bottom line and their efficiency. So, you know, they realize the benefit of working with the program and collecting that data. And many of the companies actually use the data that they submit to SmartWay internally as benchmarks or year-to-year goal improvements, et cetera.
All right, thank you. I'm going to ask if our presenters have about 5 extra minutes to go beyond 2:30 to stay on so we can try to get through all of these questions. If you do have to leave, I understand, but I want to try to get through all of them. So we'll go into questions now for Heather. Does Invest ask not only how, but whether? That is, whether an alternative approach to meet the need is preferable, not just how the approach chosen can be optimized.
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. And I'd say for the most part, Invest is focused on sort of the optimizing question, especially if you're looking at the project development criteria where you've decided on a project and you're trying to figure out how to make it more sustainable. But an agency could take a look at a few different projects and run them through the project development criteria and see how they stack up with regards to sustainability. So in that sense, you could do a comparison of a couple of alternatives. And then on the when you're looking at the system planning side, it is a little bit more, you know, multimodal, where there's, you know, versus the project development, which is really for the most part tailored towards the highway or roadway projects. But on the system planning side, there's definitely opportunities to identify multimodal aspects and look at some alternatives there.
Okay, thank you. And might Invest be part of the national freight planning that MAP 21 calls for?
Yeah, so I have to say I'm not very familiar with the what MAP 21 is calling for with regards to the national freight planning process, but I do think one of the things that we're really excited about with Invest is that we do think it can be plugged into a lot of existing planning processes and even plugged into existing tools that are out there. For example, some of the broader infrastructure sustainability tools, like the one that was developed by ISI, the Envision tool. So I think that, you know, certainly it could be considered and used in that process, but I'm just not super familiar with the process itself.
All right. And can Invest be accessed or utilized by private consultants or only public agencies?
So Invest is definitely designed to meet the needs of our stakeholders, the State Departments of Transportation, and the Metropolitan Planning Organizations. However, it's accessible to anybody. Anyone in the public, consultants are certainly more than welcome to take a look at it and use it to evaluate projects. In some cases, you'll probably find that there are things that, you know, would be called for in the tool that are not within the control of the consultant. For example, it would be more in the purview of the agency. But certainly, it's, I think, a useful tool for folks to look at. And in fact, in the project, in the pilot testing process, one of the projects that that we looked at was in Ohio. And the DOT there actually brought in their consultants as well as their project managers and everyone to sort of sit down together to take a look at the tool. So I think there's certainly a lot of room for a number of folks to use it and get some value from it.
Thank you. We have a few questions for Alan. Are the results you discussed published in any report?
As we would do our work, we do write reports, and those reports will be published. One of my slight frustrations at the moment is that the results of our review haven't been officially approved for publication yet. And when they are, they will be available on the COFRET website for anybody to download. But if anybody wants them, they can email me and I can send them a version of what we've got, which will probably be 98 or 99% equivalent to what is eventually published. And I can send those on the understanding that people have them as a draft, and you know, they need to acknowledge that things may change ever so slightly if something's queried.
All right, thank you. Another question, which need will COFRET address? Estimation of CO2 emissions based on past data or real CO2 emissions after the transportation occurs?
I think technically it should be able to do both, because we're producing a methodology for calculation. We recognize that the most accurate outputs will be with actual data, and that is what we will encourage transport companies to use when they use the methodology. Clearly, if they don't have their own accurate data, then they're going to be forced to use some sort of proxy, and this is what the graph with the green, the yellow, and the red was looking at. But at the same time, for estimation and comparison of different maybe modal pathways for international transport, the methodology would still hold. But if a transport company or a shipper has, if you like, their own data from different supply chain elements, they could use it, or again, they could use proxy. One of the things that we've been debating is whether or not we supply default data as part of our methodology reports. And we've come to the conclusion that we probably shouldn't. We should allow users to use their own data. And we may well then reference other data sources, which then could be used as the most accurate proxy within the model. And the example that we've just seen about all that really good-looking SmartWay data would be an ideal reference point for people using a methodology in the U.S. Market, say.
Right.
Does that answer the question, you think?
I think so. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll ask you one more question, and then I think we're going to have to stop. But do any of the international shippers and carriers among your stakeholders mention their participation in SmartWay? And if so, can you say if they've asked about or suggested ways to mesh the SmartWay and COFRET efforts?
Okay. There has been some reference to SmartWay, but not too much. There is more concern about the need to mesh things, not just with SmartWay, but with all these other different tools and measurement methods there are as well. We've taken SmartWay into account. It's one of the tools and methodologies that we have identified as very important. But then there are several others we've had to deal with in exactly the same way. We are under pressure not only by our stakeholder group, but also from the European Commission to make strong efforts to try to start this process of global harmonization. So I know Matt mentioned this is an issue at the end of his presentation. but something that we're very keen on doing is harmonising and this meshing, as is written in the question. It may well take a lot of time, but at the same time, it's something that we want to start to do, and that's one of the reasons why I'm here, talking from Europe to the US initiatives. And we also are talking to Green Freight Asia, who we've come across recently, about the need to try to bring them in as well. This is really supported by the World Economic Forum, by the really big international transport companies, and I think also with, say, the likes of IATA. The feedback that we've got from the people we're talking to there, I think this is really important.
All right. Well, thank you. I know we still have a few unanswered questions, and what I'm going to do is send them to the presenters to get written responses, and I'll send them out with the follow-up information. Since we are already a few minutes over, and I do appreciate everybody staying online, but I do want to go ahead and close out for today. So I want to thank all three of our presenters. Thank you, everybody in attendance as well. And as I mentioned, the recording and the presentations will be available online within the next 2 to 3 weeks, and I'll send out an email once they are available. As a reminder, if you are applying for AICP certification maintenance credits for today, please make sure you are either signed in with your first and last name or send me a message in the chat box with your name. I also encourage everybody on to download the evaluation form and fill it out and submit it to me after the seminar. The next seminar will be held on October 17th. More information, it's not yet available for registration, but more information will be sent out through the Freight Planning Listserv as soon as it is. The listserv is the primary way that we announce the Talking Freight seminars and as well as other freight information. So if you haven't already joined it, I suggest you do so. The link at which you could join is on your screen right now. So with that, we're going to close out. Thank you, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your day.